IBM emerges from shadows as Trump bets $1 billion on quantum computing. And number 10,022, takeaways by Plaquemines AI Hyde, and number 9,650, the US government committed $1 billion to an IBM-backed quantum foundry, marking one of the largest single public commitments to quantum computing infrastructure in American history. Wedbush Securities analyst Dan Ives described IBM as a and #X27, sleeping giant and #X27, thesis that has now become a federally endorsed industrial policy play with and #X27, massive upside dot and #X27, the federal investment parallels Washington and #X27's approach to semiconductor manufacturing, specifically drawing comparison to federal intervention in Intel and #X27's supply chain. A $1 billion U.S. government investment in a new IBM-backed quantum foundry has transformed what Wedbush Securities analyst Dan Ives called a sleeping giant thesis into a federally endorsed industrial policy play, marking one of the largest single public commitments to quantum computing infrastructure in American history. The federal backing targets a company-backed entity designated to build the first quantum foundry on U.S. soil, according to Yahoo Finance. The scale of the commitment tracks directly with Ives's prior forecast that Washington would treat quantum computing with the same urgency it has applied to semiconductor manufacturing, specifically drawing a parallel to federal intervention in Intel's supply chain. That prediction has now materialized, and IBM sits at the center of the capital flow. Ives, speaking on CNBC, described IBM as having massive upside and characterized it as a sleeping giant within the technology sector. His framing pointed to an underappreciated strategic position, a legacy enterprise technology company with deep quantum research infrastructure, now positioned to capture sovereign-level procurement as the U.S. government accelerates its technology competition with China. Investors needed to watch the White House, Ives stated, forecasting that the administration would continue to make stakes no different than Intel. The quantum foundry announcement matters beyond IBM's stock price. It signals a structural shift in how Washington allocates capital in the technology arms race with Beijing, a dynamic that will reshape where institutional money flows in deep tech infrastructure for the next decade. The $1 billion anchor, what federal quantum capital buys the investment, establishes what the source describes as America's first quantum foundry, a facility designed to manufacture and scale quantum computing hardware domestically. Terms of the specific funding vehicle, including the legal structure of the IBM-backed company receiving the capital, were not disclosed in the source material. What the dollar figure does clarify is the federal government's positioning. At $1 billion, this commitment sits in the same tier as major CHIPS Act disbursements to semiconductor manufacturers, though exact comparisons require care. CHIPS Act grants to individual recipients ranged widely, and quantum manufacturing carries fundamentally different yield and cost structures than classical silicon fab operations. The foundry model itself is the strategic lever. A quantum foundry is not a product company, it is infrastructure for the ecosystem. IBM's play is to become the TSMC of quantum, the essential manufacturing substrate that every downstream quantum software, sensing, and communications company depends on. That positioning, if executed, creates a durable moat that software-only quantum competitors cannot replicate. $1 billion, U.S. government investment in the IBM-backed quantum foundry, designated to build America's first domestic quantum manufacturing facility. Dan Ives, the arms race, and why the Intel comparison is the right frame. Ives's reference to Intel as a template for government intervention deserves unpacking. The federal government's engagement with Intel under the CHIPS and Science Act reflected a recognition that leading-edge semiconductor fabrication had become a national security asset, not merely a commercial one. Ives applied identical logic to quantum. The U.S.-China technology competition would force Washington to pick winners and fund them directly. That framing proved accurate. The IBM Quantum Foundry investment follows the same industrial policy playbook: identify a critical emerging technology, identify the domestic champion with the deepest existing infrastructure, and anchor it with sovereign capital to prevent the capability from migrating offshore or falling behind Chinese state-funded competitors. What makes this analytically important for institutional investors is the signal embedded in government sequencing. Washington tends to concentrate quantum capital in companies with demonstrated hardware progress, not early-stage ventures. IBM's quantum roadmap, which the company has published publicly for several years, gave policymakers a credible execution track record to fund. The $1 billion is not a research grant, it is a manufacturing infrastructure bet on a company that has already built functional quantum systems. The macro backdrop, harsh at the Fed, adds a cost of capital dimension. IBM's quantum catalyst arrives inside a monetary environment that institutional investors cannot ignore. Kevin Warsh has taken charge as the new Federal Reserve Chair, according to the Economic Times, at a moment defined by elevated inflation, rising oil prices, and geopolitical tension. Warsh has argued publicly that central banks created inflationary pressure through years of ultra-loose monetary policy and balance sheet expansion. His policy stance points toward higher rates for longer, and potentially an accelerated reduction of the Fed's balance sheet. Faster balance sheet shrinkage would tighten liquidity conditions and increase volatility across asset classes. For quantum infrastructure investment, the Warsh dynamic cuts two ways. Higher discount rates compress the net present value of long-duration technology investments, which quantum hardware unambiguously is. A quantum foundry generating commercial-scale revenue is likely 5 to 10 years from full utilization. At higher rates, that cash flow stream is worth materially less today. The offset is the government capital itself. A $1 billion federal anchor reduces IBM's private capital requirement and effectively de-risks the foundry's balance sheet, partially insulating the investment from rate sensitivity that would otherwise punish a purely private deep tech venture at this stage. Sources: Yahoo Finance, The Economic Times. Analysis: Plaquemines Holdings. xAI's compute misfire sharpens IBM's positioning. By contrast, a parallel development in the same week provides useful competitive context. Elon Musk's xAI faced weak uptake for its Grok chatbot across U.S. government, corporate, and consumer channels, according to DigiTimes. SpaceX subsequently moved to lease idle computing capacity to Anthropic after Grok underused the infrastructure it had built. Details of the lease terms were not disclosed. The contrast with IBM is instructive. xAI built supply ahead of demand and is now repricing idle compute at market. IBM is receiving sovereign capital to build supply that the government has pre-committed to support. These are structurally different infrastructure investment cases. The xAI situation also illustrates the concentration risk in AI compute bets. Infrastructure built for a single model or product line carries stranded asset risk when that product underperforms commercially. IBM's quantum foundry, by design, is meant to serve multiple downstream users across the quantum ecosystem, the same model that made TSMC a more durable investment than any single fabless chip company. For private equity and institutional capital evaluating deep tech infrastructure, the xAI versus IBM dynamic in May 2026 offers a clean case study. Government-anchored, multi-tenant infrastructure outperforms single-use, venture-funded compute buildouts when adoption curves prove slower than forecast. Investment positioning: where institutional capital should look, IBM's quantum foundry investment creates three distinct capital deployment opportunities for institutional investors. First, IBM equity itself carries a re-rating catalyst. The $1 billion federal commitment validates IBM's thesis and provides a revenue anchor that reduces the speculative premium typically required to hold long-duration technology positions. The stock sleeping giant narrative now has a government cosigner. Second, the foundry creates a supply chain opportunity. A domestic quantum manufacturing facility requires cryogenic systems, specialized materials, precision fabrication equipment, and software tooling that IBM will not produce in-house. Companies supplying those inputs into the foundry carry a captive demand dynamic, similar to the ASML and Lin playbook in classical semiconductor manufacturing. Third, the federal commitment signals that quantum will receive continued appropriations. The $1 billion is a first anchor, not a final figure. Institutional capital that positions in quantum infrastructure ahead of subsequent funding rounds benefits from the political momentum embedded in Washington's current posture. The Warsh rate environment complicates all three positions but does not negate them. Government-backed infrastructure with a defined offtake creates a different risk profile than speculative deep tech equity. The Plaquemines view the market is pricing this as an IBM story. It is actually a sovereign capital allocation story, and IBM is the first beneficiary in a series. Washington's pattern with chips was to start with a visible anchor investment, use it to establish political and industrial precedent, and then extend capital to a broader ecosystem. Quantum will follow the same sequence. The $1 billion foundry investment is the anchor. The next phase will involve software, sensing, communications, and ultimately defense applications. IBM holds the foundry position, which is the hardest to replicate and the most defensible in a government procurement context. Plaquemines sees a second-order play that the IBM's thesis does not fully capture. The foundry model creates a qualification bottleneck. Any company building quantum applications for U.S. government use will need hardware that meets federal specifications. If IBM's foundry becomes the reference manufacturing facility for government-qualified quantum systems, competitors face a multi-year certification lag to match that position. This is not a moat built on patents or software lock-in. It is a moat built on physical infrastructure and government procurement relationships. The Warsh Fed adds urgency to the timing question. If rates remain elevated and liquidity tightens, early-stage quantum ventures without government anchors will face financing pressure. That environment consolidates the field toward established players with sovereign backing. IBM benefits from that consolidation dynamic, as do any infrastructure suppliers already embedded in its foundry supply chain. The bottom line, the quantum foundry investment is not a science project. It is an industrial policy instrument, and IBM is the designated national champion. Institutional capital should treat it accordingly, with a long-duration time horizon, a rate sensitivity adjustment in the DCF, and an eye on the second and third federal commitments that follow this first anchor. The bottom line, IBM's $1 billion federal quantum foundry commitment is the largest sovereign validation of a single company's quantum hardware strategy to date. Wedbush's Dan Ives called the setup correctly. The WASH Fed introduces a cost of capital headwind for long-duration deep tech positions, but government-anchored infrastructure with multi-tenant utility characteristics carries a structurally different risk profile than the stranded compute scenario playing out at xAI. Institutional capital that positions in IBM and its quantum supply chain now, ahead of the next round of sovereign capital deployment, owns the foundry layer in what is shaping up to be the defining technology infrastructure race of the decade.